Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. The Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, that's 646-478, and I forgot the last four digits. The last digit is 3753. Boy, I'm having a heck of a day. So 3753 is how you do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to Sport. Where are you going? SportsTimeRadio.com. I am just clueless today. So, yeah, SportsTimeRadio.com. The blog will go up sometime tomorrow morning. I've had a heck of a day, so, you know, it's just one of those things. Of course, while you're over at SportsTimeRadio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. Oh, if you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
The Graduate Degree. Dan the Man with three E's.
What is it? I have a master's degree at Dan Z Man. Oh, so.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That'll be a good one. I'll have to change it.
Yeah, you should see if that's available. I'm sure it's taken, you know, somebody's got to have that one. But, all right. So anyway, Dan, let's see. We start off with they postponed the Olympics. Well, the Summer Olympics. Maybe we'll still have Winter Olympics. Tokyo decided that we're not going to have this till next year now. Obviously, this is a good decision. You know, it makes total sense. I know Canada had already said they weren't going to send any athletes. You know, I'm sure if this would have continued, there would have been a whole bunch of other people saying, you know, they weren't going to go, which would have been okay because then you and I could have went and won gold in anything. But, you know, that happens. What always kind of baffles me with these things is, you know, weeks ago the media was on board with this saying, hey, you know, we got to cancel this. We got to move it. We got to do something with it. And, you know, obviously, you know, these, you know, as much as it's going to cost whatever, you know, in the end, these goofballs still seem to do the right thing. But what's wrong with them waiting? You know, Dan, I mean, you got to think with all the money on the line, what's wrong with waiting as long as possible before canceling something? Why does the media, and it just seems to be the media that seems to have such a problem with it. You know, it's like they want everything canceled immediately. You know, it's like, why can't we wait?
Well, you know, do a lot of them forget that their paychecks rely on things like that? So, I mean, you know, the common theme among the media seems to be that they really don't want to work for the money that they make.
You know, because I remember seeing the same thing, you know, with WrestleMania, because WWE really stalled with making a decision. And, you know, I mean, I can see where they're coming from, because obviously if a cure comes through, you know, and I mean, you never know. I mean, you know, we could get a cure any day. We could get one tonight, and you know, just not knowing. You know, so you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself, but that's their biggest money-making weekend, you know, in North America. You know, now they have that Saudi show that, you know, they get paid, you know, way too much money to do. But, you know, that I mean, they're, you know, he's looking at giving up a gigantic gate. You know, if you're a business owner, doesn't it make sense to kind of try to wait these things out as long as you can? But, you know, again, for whatever reason, you get killed for it.
Yeah, I mean, it to me, isn't that the whole point? Like, you don't know exactly where you're going, so you kind of wait. So as it gets closer, you make that decision. And I did find it interesting that they decided to with the show. And I don't know if this was in the works beforehand or if this was always a plan, but now they have the show going Saturday night and Sunday night for WrestleMania.
Yeah, no, this is something they're doing because of the situation. So,
okay.
You know, otherwise, you know, because I think if I heard correctly, their concern is that they're going to have a very difficult time, you know, not only kind of keeping everybody's attention for a show that has no crowd, but also getting people to sit there for 4 hours and watch a show that has no crowd. Because like you mentioned last night, you tried to watch it. I've tried to watch it, and it's difficult, you know, without a crowd there.
Well, and even the, you know, I only watched the AJ Styles promo, which, you know, as we get onto wrestling, and I haven't watched it since, you know, WrestleMania, whatever, when it was Undertaker versus Triple H for the 12th time or whatever it was back then. number one, let me just say, Big Jack, AJ Styles versus Undertaker? Really?
Well, who else is there left for the Undertaker to wrestle, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Is Ric Flair still alive? You know, I don't know. So, you know, apparently Triple H isn't wrestling anymore. I don't really watch it, so I don't really know. But, you know, listening to AJ Styles' promo, I believe... Like, I couldn't tell if it was backstage or technically on the entrance ramp. But, you know, in previous shows, when you're hearing these promos, you've got the live crowd reaction, you know, the chairs and the boos. And, I mean, he could cut that promo 12 times. And, I mean, let's be honest, AJ's been doing it since he was a kid. And I think he's pretty good at it, but... it just had no effect. Absolutely no effect.
Yeah.
Without the crowd behind him.
Yeah, and I have noticed, like, I turned it on and they had John, they were showing an old match, John Cena against somebody else from, I don't know, WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, so one of the pay-per-views from years back. And that seems to be the way they're going. I know last week, and I try to read recaps and stuff to keep up what's going on. And, you know, I know like last week they showed the entire Royal Rumble match, you know, the Rumble itself. So, you know, that eats up a good hour, hour and a half of your show. And I was really surprised, and I don't know if, maybe they didn't want to do it because they would be seen as copying AEW. But what AEW did last night is they had the wrestlers who didn't wrestle sit at ringside. And it really added to the show. You know, because you can hear them, you know, playing their characters and, you know, obviously that the, you know, the good guys cheering the good guys and the bad guys, you know, doing their shtick. And it really helped instead of just having your wrestlers go out there and wrestle in front of absolutely nobody. And it was, you know, cause like I normally end up watching like one AEW match, whatever they have for the open, I usually watch it. And it really added compared to not having anybody there. And I mean, we're only talking about maybe 8 or 10 guys at ringside, but it was still better than nothing. And I don't know why you do something like that. I mean, they've got the wrestlers there.
Well, and I was going to say about the stand-ins or the guys that get paid to show up just in case, but I don't know if that's still going on with the pandemic.
Yeah.
So, but do you think with the big show, not the big show, but you know, him, but WWE being the big show, that's a little too indie for them, where, you know, we're talking about stadiums that, you know, we go to see hockey games and NBA games in, where I do not believe, maybe I could be wrong, but I don't know if you know, AEW is hitting those kinds of stadiums yet.
Yeah, you know, they were, but this was in a smaller format. It was a studio setting, very much like what WWE is using now. You know, it's not the performance center as WWE calls it, but it's a stage studio set up somewhere in Atlanta that, you know, doesn't seat very many people if they were drawing a crowd. So they used it specifically for, you know, last week's show, and I think they're doing it again tomorrow night. You know, like the weird part about like their setup is they had a couple really big reveals last week, you know, that I saw on, you know, on YouTube. And, you know, these were just kind of things that, you know, would have got fantastic crowd reactions, but, you know, they had to reveal them for storyline purposes, and there was no crowd there to react to it. So it was kind of strange to see.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if the technology is there, but you wonder if they could somehow, how would you even do that? But live stream it to where you can get the, you know, the fans sitting at home in front of their computers or their, you know, in front of their phone on Facebook Live or Instagram or, you know, any of that crap, and you know, get their reaction that way and kind of. But then again, you'd be looking at thousands of feeds into one and trying to get that reaction. I don't know if you have the capability to do that. It'd be kind of cool though.
Yeah, because I know at, you know, there was even an article, I guess WWE considered piping in crowd noise, but wow, would that have been cheesy. So I'm glad they decided to go with that. So.
You know, the one thing I will say, I caught, I don't even know, I don't know if this was just a thing on Facebook I was scrolling last night or, you know, how I came across it, but I found an article that WWE has decided to give away the network. I don't know how long. There was no deadlines or time limits on it. And I know you're not getting access to everything, and I don't think it said they're getting WrestleMania for free, but you're getting like all the NXT stuff and just a lot of stuff, what do you call it, added for free. And, you know, I don't know if I haven't tried logging in or anything, but I don't have an account. So you'd probably have to create an account to get access to it. But I thought that was a pretty cool move on their part. But then, you know, I was telling my wife about it because she's like, "Why are you watching wrestling?" I'm like, "I just wanted to see the no crowd thing." But I couldn't even sit through it because there was no matches. It was all promos that I watched, so I got tired of watching it. And plus, for some reason, the guy standing behind AJ Styles with the black paint under his eyes was scaring my daughter. So, you know, I mean, that's 3 years old, right? You know, my cousin's kids peed their pants with when a certain wrestler came up by their section and scared them. But we were all wondering if it was because he scared them or because he smelled so bad. Rim shot. But, you know, besides the point, you know, I just kind of was looking into that. And I thought that was really cool that they're offering it for free. But then I thought of, you know, I was telling her about what you had mentioned a while back that possibly Amazon or some other or ESPN or some other streaming services were actually interested in purchasing or owning the rights to WWE Network. So I was like, you know, if you get a bunch of people now to log into WWE Network, you're giving them a free account. So you create your account, and I don't know if you have to, I'm assuming you would have to put in a credit card number and then, you know, cancel by this date, blah, blah, blah. You know, kind of like a gym membership. You sign up for your gym membership and it's auto withdraw, and then you just forget to cancel it, but it's only $10 a month or whatever it is. So then it's not the end of the world. And, you know, that I think if they were able to get a boost with subscription, that might help, you know, the sale if it is happening. So I was like, it's kind of two-pronged with that situation, is it not?
Yeah, well, I did just read yesterday that apparently ESPN was the front runner to buy, and what they're buying is the pay-per-views. You know, they want to buy all the rights to air all the pay-per-views. So, you know, I don't know if or how that would affect the network. I mean, I was kind of under the impression that everybody was getting the network so you could watch the pay-per-views for just $10 a month instead of the, you know, $40, $50, $60. Like, I think WrestleMania cost close to $75 or something. So, you know, I kind of figured that's why you would get the network. So, yeah, moving that to ESPN or whatever, but I guess with everything going on, the negotiations hit a snag. That's not going to happen, at least as of right now. But, yeah, don't be surprised in the near future if, you know, you have the WWE Network and you're not getting the pay-per-views anymore because they've been moved to a, you know, a streaming service because ESPN wants it for the Plus format. They want to air it on ESPN Plus.
Well, you know, they're trying. Well, they've already got UFC, so.
Yeah.
Which, I
mean. So, you know, I mean, it, you know, it would be another, you know, because you figure if, you know, you're paid, you know, they'll go right back to charging you, you know, the $30-$40 or whatever it is for the monthly ones. And then, you know, WrestleMania would be the big one to get money from.
Mm-hmm. I'm so out of the loop with it, though. I don't know how many pay-per-view they run. I'm assuming at least once a month, but you remember for a while when they had... Oh, okay. Well, you remember for a while they had the SmackDown branded one and then the Raw branded reviews. You know,
yeah,
two
they,
a month.
They gave up on. Yeah, they gave up on that when I can't remember which brand it was. Wasn't selling, and they went back to the once a month format. So,
come on, Big Jack. You know it's SmackDown.
I can't. I have a hard time remembering who wrestles for what brand now, you know, but, you know, besides, you know, WWE has three shows. Tonight there's Impact, where you'll probably actually see a crowd because they tape their shows in advance. You know, and then there's AEW. I found out now I get something called Championship Wrestling from Hollywood on Saturday night. So, yeah, there's, you know, wrestling all over the place on my TV. I normally take a gander at it just to kind of see what's going on, but I never watch for more than a minute or two normally, depending on who's in the ring. It's not wrestling to me anymore because they're kind of crazy with what they do.
I don't watch much of it anymore, but are you kind of surprised with the amount of wrestling that is on every channel now? I mean, you mentioned AEW has their thing. I just kind of assumed, to be honest, that when AEW kind of came around, I just assumed it would be TNA Impact Part 2 and that everyone from Impact would go away. But then, I like you said, I saw that Impact has its own show, which I think Taz is on, and a bunch of old guys like Rhino, and I think they brought back that really annoying announcer from back in the day with the silk shirts. And then, you know, the Stadium Network, I think, is the one that runs Ring of Honor still. I didn't know they were still running. I was kind of surprised by that. And then, you know, so you got WWE, AEW, Ring of Honor, and Impact. So, I mean, I think that covers literally every day of the week. If you're a uber wrestling fan, I mean, is this not your time?
Yeah, and Wayne, don't forget, you can also get NWA on YouTube.
I didn't even know there was NWA. I thought that organization
The Ring of Honor, you know, if you are, you know, if you're not keeping up with them and you're watching it on Stadium, they are very far behind from what's going on now to where the TV show is. I think they're probably at least 2 months behind.
What do you mean by that?
The matches they're showing on Stadium are probably from 2 months ago.
Oh.
So, you know, because I'm trying to remember, I had it on a week or two ago, and one of the guys popped up who now wrestles for one of the other feds. I can't remember which one he's in now. You know, he's no longer with Ring of Honor, and he left like 2 months ago, so this was like his last match.
So it's kind of like when I used to watch the AAA from Mexico.
Yeah. You know, it's just a matter of, and by the way, they're still, you can stream them as well. If the, you know, if you'd like to see that. So there's one more wrestling show you can throw in, you
wow.
know, if you're really looking for it on the stream. I know that it's on one of the networks that Pluto TV carries. So, you know, you can get Pluto for free if you're streaming, and then you can find, you know, AAA along with Ring of Honor because Stadium is on there.
Yeah, wow. I don't know. There was another one from Mexico, CMLL.
Yeah, I haven't seen them lately. I wouldn't be surprised if you could find them as well.
Yeah,
you know.
I know for a little while they were running Angela.
I don't know how well that took off, but they ran some shows in L.A. You know, I'm surprised we don't get, well, you know, now that I think their contract expired, but you used to be able to get New Japan on the same station that ran Impact. They had like a block of wrestling on Saturday. You got New Japan, and then you got, wow, Women of Wrestling.
It's a lot of wrestling. I mean.
Yeah, which if you are wondering, wow is actually by the same guy who founded GLOW. But obviously he can't use the name because he sold all those rights to Netflix. So.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they bought all that stuff from him when they started doing the show there. So he had to have a new name.
Oh, you mean so he sold the rights to it so he could start the new one?
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's what he used the money for, was just to kind of start back up. But I guess apparently this has been going on for a while, just I guess you would call it sporadically. Like even the TV show, it only runs in, you know, I guess you would call it short season format. There's only about 10 or 12 episodes per season. You know, it's not like the WWE where it's new every week. You know, they go so long and then they're off the air until the next season comes back. So it's kind of strange to see it that way. You know, when it's just like, oh yeah, this, you know, cause I remember I caught the last one and, oh yeah, this is our season finale. I'm like, what are you talking about? This is a wrestling show. What do you mean season finale? But yeah, then they go away and I guess they got to do more tapings.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, that always kind of cracked me up when WWE would try that stuff. Oh, the season premiere,
yeah.
You know, September. I'm like, you guys have not stopped. So did your season end last week, and then, you know, this week is season premiere? I don't get it.
But, you know, that, you know, Lucha Underground used to do the same thing. You know, they ran it like an actual television show. You know, there were 22
yeah,
or 23 episodes per season. So.
Yeah, but that's different. You know, they actually ran a season where WWE doesn't stop producing television. And then you're like, but how is this a season premiere? There was a show last week that was live. I was there, you know? So,
yeah, that is kind of funny. I don't think they do that anymore, do they? I think they stopped doing that.
I don't know. But, I mean, it always cracked me up when they did that.
Maybe they learned that their fans aren't like morons, and they kind of figured out that it's really, you know, not what you would call a season premiere, because like you said, they didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. Well, I think part of that initiative was due to the fact that, you know, around that time, all shows have their season premieres. But,
yeah.
You know, we talked about,
it sounds good because everybody else is doing it. So,
yeah. You know,
it's like, oh, well, here's the season premiere of this or the season premiere of that. Well, look, hey, Raw's doing it too, or SmackDown's doing it too. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it always, it cracked me up, and I told you this story, and, you know, neither here nor there, but I, you know, I got rid of cable, and I don't receive any, you know, the networks. And my mother-in-law's boyfriend was like, well, don't you watch this, that, and this? I'm like, no, we don't watch network TV. He's like, oh, my God, what do you do? I'm like, well, we have a three-year-old, so we get stuck watching a lot of three-year-old crap. I go, but, you know, we watch cable. I don't get into the drama shows that, you know, I've got a friend who every, was it Wednesday, spends 3 hours, you know, watching the Chicago shows.
Oh, yeah, my roommate fire, does that.
You know, fire, police, and medicine or emergency or something. I don't know. You know, I'm like, no, I've never watched it. I'd rather watch the... Yeah, but I'm one of those, like you said before, I'm a little cynical, so, you know, I would watch that and go, that would never happen in real life. That wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
That wouldn't happen. That doesn't happen on First 48, you know?
Oh, all right. Well, hey, we have a caller, Dan, here. Let's take a shot with this. I'm just going to bring him in and see what goes on here. If I can get it to work. There we go. Hey, caller, you there? Welcome to Sports Time Radio.
Thank you, sir. Lou from New Jersey. First time caller, but I've heard about this show quite often, but I could never get through.
Huh,
oh, sorry.
I've been trying for over a year.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm
yeah.
glad you got through this time, Lou. What's on your mind there?
Well, I can sympathize with all you baseball fans, me being a diehard Yankee fan, and, you know, we're anxiously waiting for the season to get started. But, you know, anybody's guess is as good as mine because some are saying, you know, it's going to start like the middle of May, which I don't really see that happening right now considering, you know, but it's almost April now and it's going to take at least 3 weeks to get everything all over here. And then they said a month with spring training and whatnot to get everything here. So I don't think we're going to see anything until at least June or July for that matter.
Yeah, well, you know, Lou, I've heard as late as July, so it could be a while before you get to see some Yankee baseball, but I guess on
yeah.
the plus side, the majority of their guys should be recovered for you by then, right? You know,
some
Judge, Stanton, and Paxton?
Well, Judge maybe, Stanton, I don't know. But anyway, when you think about where do you think they'll pick up, assuming the season ever gets started? You know, like it's if they start in June or July, I don't think we're going to see 162 games. I seriously doubt that.
No. Yeah, no,
okay.
You know, like, there's been, you know, multiple reports now about them starting at the All-Star game and playing an 81-game schedule, but I've also heard up to 120 or 122. So we're looking at somewhere in between there, I'd have to guess.
Well, I would think it's doable with anything 100 or over. I mean, if you're going below that, I don't know. It's going to be kind of tricky to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So.
Boy,
well,
and,
we were even discussing this yesterday, and, you know, I think one of the – we were curious, and obviously this hasn't been divulged to us, but – if they don't just start until, you know, let's just say June 1st, July 1st, the date doesn't really matter. You know, are we just picking up with that, you know, what game was supposed to be on June 1st and going forward? Or
that's what I'm saying. Where would they start it?
Yeah, you know, are they going to restructure the entire schedule? Because, I mean, you know, I'm sure for you and, you know, the Yankee fans, it's cool, you know, to get that Mets-Yankees series going in. But if the season's shortened, you know, for me, I don't really care to see a Cubs Sox series. I want to see the Cubs, you know, take on and, you know, hopefully beat up on the division rivals, not so much worried about the four games between the Cubs and Sox.
Right.
How do you feel about that?
Well, being that I'm a New York fan, you know, I mean, it's always, you know, something nice to see with the Yankees and the Mets because they're our crosstown rivals, and, you know, we always like to razz them anyway. So that I think I'm gonna miss. Most of all, of course, the only thing not too upset about is we don't see the Red Sox 20 times this year, because that can be really a drag. And you know how us Yankee fans feel about, you know, the Dead Sox. No, Red Sox, excuse me.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully they'll get, you know, they get a decent amount of season going, because, I mean, obviously, you know, it's clear that even with the injuries, the Yankees look like the front runner out there and, you know, should have a shot for the World Series. So you're looking at it, they can get this rolling, Lou.
Twice in a row with the injuries we had? I don't know. Once, it's possible, but to get a second year with that kind of injury mesh up and trying to rely on your minor league system again, I don't know. I think you're pushing your luck this time.
I mean,
yeah,
it was,
you know, but the
very impressive
last year.
I would say it was so impressive last year to have, you know, upwards of almost 30 guys on the DL and still come out as the front runner.
And they could,
and you know, the division, are you worried about anybody in that division? I mean, I know Tampa Bay will hang around, but I don't think they're better than the Yankees.
That's the one team that worries me, because Tampa Bay has coming on strong, and it does pose, I think, a little bit of a threat. I think they can get by them, but they are like to be a serious competitor. Now, if only they draw some fans in the seats, that'd be something, but they can't even draw that. What a shame.
Yeah, because you figure Boston without Sale be able to hang around them.
Yeah.
Well, and if you ever do make it down for a Yankees-Tampa series, just buy your parking beforehand. I was able to just show up and get some pretty solid tickets.
Oh. So in the meantime, I've been catching up on some movies on HBO and whatnot. So, you know, at least I got that to pass the time for a little bit. But,
yeah,
you know,
well,
Thursday was supposed to be the home opener, and Thursday is my actual birthday, and that would have been a nice birthday present, too. But no.
Oh, yeah.
Happy early birthday. So.
Yeah, it's more like an unhappy birthday now.
Yeah,
you know,
unfortunately, you can't go out and celebrate either. So, you know,
you're
a little stuck. But, like, movies to watch, and hopefully that'll get you through until we get past all this.
I mean, this is supposed to be like, if you're a sports fan, one of the happiest times of the year. You know, you have opening of baseball, you had the basketball tournament, which would have been the Sweet 16 by that point. So it's really been, you know, it's really been a downfall for me. But I don't know what it hurts more, me as a fan or me as a host of a sports show.
Yeah. Well, and I've got one for you. I was curious as to, you know, if you've got received any communications from the Yankees, or if you've, you know, purchased tickets going anywhere else. I did buy a couple White Sox tickets because they were $5, and you know, that game's for May 15th, which I don't think is going to happen. You know, the White Sox have been pretty up to date with sending emails with this whole pandemic. Are the Yankees in that boat too? Have you received anything? Or?
I haven't received any notifications from that as of yet.
Kind of surprised.
Are you hosting something on this network, Lou, or where are you hosting?
No, sir. I am not on this network. I'm on another network on Saturday nights, actually. Are you located in the East Coast or where?
No, we're in the Chicagoland area.
Okay, so an hour behind.
Yeah.
An hour behind me, that is.
Yes.
Yes, I host on a different network, actually, on Saturdays, 4 to 6 in your area, which is 5 to 7 mine.
Oh.
You know, what's your show called?
It's called Why Am I Suffering as a Yankee Fan? No. It's called the Enhanced Support. I always like to hammer up before I give the actual name. It's called the Enhanced Sports Show. We're on Saturdays 4 to 6 your time, 5 to 7 my time. We go over the sports spectrum, football, baseball, basketball, maybe even dodgeball if you let me. The number is 512-543-4662. You do not need a pound sign or dial a 1 or anything. Just dial the number straight through, and I'll get you in. No joke.
Oh, all right. No.
You should definitely shoot us an email with all your information.
All right, I can do that. You can find me on various platforms. You can find me on Facebook, Luchador, Facebook, or Gmail me at luchador45@gmail.com. But remember, capitalize the G first, otherwise you won't get squat.
All right, Lou. Well, thanks for the call. We appreciate you taking the time to call us, and we'll have to check out your show.
I greatly appreciate it. And if I can get through, I'll check out your show.
All right. Sounds good, Lou. Take care.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Oh. Oh, there you go. I'm having a good time with the switchboard, and I actually just disconnected Dan. So we'll have to wait for Dan to pop back in here. But I appreciate the call from Lou. And if you want to call in, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. And, you know, as long as I can kind of get the switchboard going on here, I will be able to get that going. let me bring Dan back there. Sorry about that, Dan. I went to disconnect Lou, and I disconnected you instead. So.
Yeah, I was like, oh, did the show end? What happened?
Yeah, it's over. We're done. But, you know, while he did bring up New York baseball, not Yankee-related, but I don't know if you saw this one today, Dan. The Mets announced that Noah Syndergaard is going to undergo Tommy John surgery, and he is obviously done for whatever season we're going to have. What's odd is I don't ever remember hearing that he was hurt.
Neither do I. So, you know, of course, my first big question for you, Big Jack, and I don't know if you looked it up already or are prepared with your, you know, having Spot Track open and all that good stuff. But doesn't he have only about two, three years left on his contract?
Well, it's humorous that you should mention that, because I know he is going to make, I just noticed he's going to make, I saw $6 million. But I think that was an old figure. I'm going to see if I can hunt it down for you here. Yeah, there, come on, a little more. There we go. He is he has one more year of arbitration to go. He's scheduled to make $9.7 million this year. So, he's eligible for free agency at the end of next season.
I was way off. I guess I assumed he's been around that long. It seems like it.
Well, it does seem like a while. I mean, you know, he made his debut at 22, so he's actually, you know, pitched in five seasons.
Yeah, I guess with the talks over the last couple of years, I think I just assumed he was under contract. I didn't realize he was in arbitration. You know, because of course, you've got to imagine, how does this affect, you know, this late in his, well, I don't want to say late in his career, but late in his arbitration series, how do you think that's going to affect him? You know, if he definitely has to be back by All-Star break next year to get a significant amount of playing time in.
Yeah, you know, you look at, you know, a guy like Syndergaard, who's always been considered really, you know, really talented. He didn't have a great year last year. Looking at his numbers, he was 10-8 with a 4.28 ERA. But you know, he throws a lot of innings. He does, you know, he strikes out a really good number of guys. You know, I think almost very much like Zach Wheeler, who, you know, found a big deal even after sitting out 2 years with Tommy John, you know, being that he'll have the surgery, he's 26. You know, even if he comes back at 28, I wouldn't be surprised to see him get a big contract for 3 or 4 years, you know, from somebody. You know, you just got to kind of wonder how many prove it starts does he need there? I mean, would you think five would be enough, or does he need a double-digit number to kind of make his case to get that big deal?
You know, that's where it's – did I unmute myself? That's where I kind of come in. That's where I'm kind of wondering where that comes into play, because, you know, it, like you said, is five good enough? I really don't know what the teams are looking for, you know, be it the Mets or the Yankees or, you know, any of them, kind of, you know, what kind of term they look for when they're, I don't want to use the inappropriate word, but pricing these guys. So, you know, I think five's a good starting number, but, you know, for me, you figure somewhere near All-Star break, he could at least almost hit 10 starts. And, you know, with the way the game is played today, I mean, if he makes, only pitches like 50 innings, and that's 10 starts, because you really, you know, with the way the game is, you only need five innings to count. You know, it's not that bad. And knowing that he'll be coming off of Tommy John, we both know there's going to be limits, whether it's, you know, that stupid 100 pitch mark or, you know, whatever they decide.
Yeah, looking at it here, you know, there's not going to be a delay in getting him the surgery. Apparently he's scheduled for Thursday. You know, and they're still forecasting him as being out till April of next year. Now, you and I both know it's more than a year recovery now. In most cases, it's 18 months. So you figure, you know, maybe he's not back till September of next season. I don't know if that's going to give him enough opportunities to pitch. You know, maybe he would have to take a 1-year prove it deal and then go out on the free agent market in 2023.
I think with his track record, I don't think he's, I'm not going to say he wouldn't take that, but I just don't see him being a guy that would even get that offer. You know, and I'm not going to knock anybody, but, you know, when you mention something like that and his injury and, you know, the time coming up, the one name that pops into my head that can make you scared is Matt Harvey.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? You know, you mentioned that. I mean, this is another huge blow for that Mets pitching staff that was just supposed to – you know, remember, they were going to dominate. I mean, they had Harvey and DeGrom and Wheeler and Syndergaard and Steven Matz. And, you know, this was going to be their rotation for 10 years. And now, you know, Wheeler's gone in free agency. DeGrom does have a Cy Young under his belt, but he's never been a big winner. You know, I mean, like, he only won 11 games last year, even though he had a 2.43 ERA. And I think when he won the Cy Young, he only had 11 or 12 wins, didn't he? Yeah, he won. Well, he won 2 years in a row, 18 and 19. He won 10 games in 18 and 11 games last year. So, you know, they're supposed to be these dominant pitchers, but they don't win games, and I don't know if it's, you know, you blame it on the bullpen, but I mean, this was going to be a dominant staff that just, you know, that just kind of buried everybody. And, you know, it kind of worked that 1 year, and then that was it. You know, and you've got to kind of wonder now how they're, you know, how are they going to manage to replace him? I mean, obviously you've got DeGrom at the top. You'll have Marcus Stroman, who they traded for last year. I guess he'll probably be the second guy. You know, Steven Matz is going to fit into that rotation somewhere. But, you know, you're looking at two holes for, I'm guessing Rick Porcello gets one. You know, and then do they try to bring Michael Wacha into the rotation where he hasn't had a great amount of success? Or, you know, is there somebody else, you know, do they have another significant arm in their bullpen that could, or sorry, in their system that could come through and, you know, and fill that role or fill that spot, because, you know, we're obviously looking at something that's going to last the whole year. You know, it's not going to be just the, you know, oh, okay, here. And I don't know, you know, if, you know, Walker Lock, you know, Lockett is that guy, or, you know, who they kind of got hanging around. But I think it definitely weakened any thought you might have had of picking them in the NL East, doesn't it?
Definitely. I like Stroman, but at the same time, you know, I don't know that he's going to make the biggest impact for that team. And then you mentioned, like, with Jacob deGrom, you know, winning only 11 games, you know, and 10, 15 years ago, he wouldn't even be on the radar for a Cy Young. But the factor has to be thrown in that pitchers don't really have any more say in their length of time. Is that the word I'm looking for? Their amount of time on the mound or in the game. Because, I mean, you know, that's the biggest issue. And, you know, and because of the way the game is played now, that's why wins don't matter and losses don't matter for a pitcher, because the guy doesn't even pitch enough to qualify for, you know, a win, because he gave up a double and the team was up by 3 runs in the, you know, the top of the fifth.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I you know, like, I know DeGrom, you know, he did pitch, you know, he's a 200-inning guy, you know, and I know he's a big strikeout guy as well. And, you know, to be fair, the Mets bullpen did stink last year, so I'm sure they blew quite a few games for him. But, you know, like you mentioned, in a lot of circumstances, that wouldn't happen because the starter would have been pitching into the seventh or the eighth. You know, and just because it's his third time against the order, you're not taking him out. You know, these guys are staying in there. So, you know, it's tough to make the call there with all this. But looking at his numbers, I understand why the sabermetric people like him. You know, his whip is under 1. His strikeouts per 9 innings are 11.3. So he's got the numbers they look for. It just, he didn't win any games. I like Stroman. I would have liked him a little more as their third or fourth starter than I would as their second. But, you know, apparently that's the situation that he's going to be placed in, and we'll have to see how he reacts.
Well, and not only that, I mean, I don't feel like they still have their entire offensive lineup put together.
No, well, you know, for, you know, maybe it's just a New York thing, but, you know, they're dealing with obviously a lot of injuries as well. You know, they never got, you know, Cespedes never played for them. They signed Jed Lowry and he got hurt, and I don't even think he was playing in spring training yet. So, you know, he's not ready to go. I know Michael Conforto was banged up there. He had the abductor injury, which we know has bothered guys for long periods of time, but, you know, he'll get some time to relax. I don't know. Is there something in the water out that way that goes on, that injuries just keep happening?
In the water or in the air?
Yeah. Just want to, one of those weird, you know, weird situations with, you know, these, you know, the New York teams where guys just keep getting, keep getting dinged up. And, I still haven't heard, like, if Lowry was even going to be back for the start of the season. Obviously they just had Pete Alonso come up huge. We'll have to see if, you know, he can continue that. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just it's a baffling team because you just don't know what you're going to get out of Cespedes. But, you know, they have some talent. I think they're going to suffer now without Syndergaard as that number two guy.
Big time.
You know, and I know we did have another pitcher head for Tommy John, not quite as big as a name, but it's a Giants pitcher, Dan Tyler Beatty, who actually made 22 starts for the Giants last year. He's headed for Tommy John. So I don't know how big of a candidate he was for their rotation this year, because, you know, he was 5-10 with a 5.08 ERA, but the Giants didn't exactly have a great year last year. So, you know, you got to figure they would at least take a look at him in that spot. But, you know, obviously that's done now, because he's, you know, he's headed that way, you know, the Tommy John way too. So we'll see, you know, what his prognostications are and if and what, you know, when he finally comes back sometime next year.
The year
but, you know, it does
down,
look, yeah, it does look like the article here does say he was a candidate for the fifth spot. So, you know, I guess the Giants, you know, and I know they did sign, I think they signed Trevor Cahill. So they have some other veteran guys in camp. Maybe he steps up and takes the role once we get going, or again, you know, maybe they have somebody we, you know, we don't know hiding in their camp somewhere. But yeah, it's like, you know, we're just kind of literally throwing these guys on the Tommy John fire, and it's nonstop for whatever reason. But, you know, hopefully we'll get these guys back and, you know, they'll be able to contribute, obviously not this year, but next year.
Mm-hmm. You know, you brought up when Lou was on the line, you know, how did this work out, this pandemic for the Yankees? You know, do you think everyone's going to be ready, healthy for the impromptu spring training that might happen, you know, next month?
Yeah, you know, as weird as it sounds, you know, they should be, you know, they really should be back by the time, you know, this all rolls around. I mean, obviously, you know, Judge had the cracked rib, so he should be recovered. I'm trying to remember what Stanton's injury was, but I believe he should be back. And, you know, James Paxton was predicted to miss about the first month of the season, so, you know, he should be back as well. You know, Gary Sanchez needed some rest for his back, and that's what he's getting. So you got to think by the time this all fires up, they'll have all four of those guys back, won't they?
They should.
So I'm trying. I want to check what Stanton's injury actually is before we give him too much credit for making it back. I don't remember how serious it was. Yeah, he had a calf injury. So you got to figure, you know, it wasn't a tear. It wasn't anything that he needed surgery for. So you've got to figure, you know, he'll be back as well. I mean, you know, I could see maybe having some concern for Judge because he's got to swing the bat, you know, and that, you know, obviously he's going to be turning that part of his body, but we're looking at, you know, I mean, he's probably looking at 2 to 3 months to recover now. He should have plenty of time.
Now, with this situation, you know, with this situation that we're kind of going through and a lot of these guys getting rest, unanticipated rest, I mean, you know, we've talked about this in the past, and, you know, I'm kind of an advocate for, you know, just give some guys time off. I get it, the contract state, you know, they got to get paid, the team, the fans, the whole nine. But when it comes to some of these nagging injuries, do you think that maybe in the future we'll start to see guys maybe just not be there for a month?
you know, you do wonder. I think a month may be a little too long of a time period, but, you know, we may see the thing where, you know, they kind of get that magic injury and they go on the DL for 2 weeks, or the IL, excuse me, just to get a little bit of a break. You know, and they can just kind of go rest up and, you know, do whatever they need. You know, it's not hard, obviously, to invent some kind of injury. And, you know, and especially, you know, I mean, imagine if your team is way out in front, kind of like the Dodgers were last year in the West where they just ran away with it. You know, come early August, you can kind of look at your guys and go, okay, well, let's give this guy a couple weeks, this guy a couple weeks. You know, let them get healthy enough to where it comes down the stretch, they can have just enough work to be ready to turn into the playoffs. So I wouldn't be surprised to see teams, you know, if they can build a significant, you know, a significant division lead, do something like that.
Now, you know, a couple years ago, Joe Maddon gave Jason Hayward, what, like a 4-game series off or a weekend? Again, you know, I mean, this isn't the NBA where, you know, the Lakers only come to Chicago once and the Bulls only go off to L.A. once. This is baseball, so you're going to have that opportunity. But, you know, do you think maybe teams, owners, maybe not owners so much, but front offices and managers are maybe going to reevaluate with this whole situation and seeing how things have played out? That, you know, instead of giving a guy just a single day, or if he's in a slump or, you know, situations like that, instead of just giving him the day off where he basically sits in the dugout fully dressed, that, well, and, you know, and maybe this isn't just a team thing. Maybe this is a whole league thing. And I don't have any issue with it. I don't think it's a bad thing, but maybe start giving these guys just, you know, hey, I know you, you're my guy, but you need the weekend off. Go home. Go home, hang out with your family, you know, go, I don't know, go walk, you know, Wrigley Park area. You know what I mean? Like, do you think we might start seeing that?
You know, the way the game is going, that wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, I could see, you know, teams actually starting to do that. You know, hey, this guy needs the weekend off, you know, or the week off. Send him home for Sunday's game and tell him to come back next Saturday.
You know, because, I mean, how long before it became the norm where now we see guys getting, you know, the paternity leave, the, you know, 3 or 4 days off when their wife has a baby? I mean, you know, growing up my entire life, that didn't happen. And I feel like we didn't see that up until like a few seasons ago. This is not like a thing that's been instituted for 20 years. It's probably only been like the last 5 years. So, I mean, the season's a grind. It's a long grind.
Oh, yeah, especially baseball. So, you know, and I do have to ask you here before we run out of time, did you watch any of the Cubs-Indian World Series? I know MLB Network showed games 5, 6, and 7 in a row today. Did you watch any of it? I promised you.
No, I haven't, but I was actually thinking about that last night, the fact that, you know, the MLB TV is re-upped for this year, going back.
All right, well, we need to take some time to handle on the football. So we'll be back tomorrow. We're at 4:30 this week, and we're 25 years, depending on the chance to get out. So 4:30 tomorrow. I'm down here waiting for the deal. Get over to sportsfanradio.com. Look for that new blog popping up tomorrow morning. While you're over there, hit the link, follow it over to Facebook page, give it a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which, of course, is at sportsfanradio. Here's the name of Dan and I up on Twitter as well. We're going to follow this down. Hey, if you stop all this, like we did, we were able to see your talk. But if you did listen to the podcast, just head over to sportsfanradio.com and listen whenever you want.
Sports Time Radio.